This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Think of this very sobering thought. Every piece of plastic that you or I have ever touched is still on Earth. Whether it's intact or disintegrating, it's here. The plastic pollution crisis was bad enough before the pandemic, but the response to COVID-19 has also resulted in increased use of plastic-based products such as masks, gloves, and even more packaging as we shopped online more. And that's just, you know, the tip of the iceberg. So how do we move away from this bad romance with plastic? Greenpeace Malaysia would like to help and have actually put together a Breaking Up with Plastic guide to assist us all. And I'm going to find out more about this from Hema Mahadevan, who is Greenpeace Malaysia's public engagement campaigner. Welcome, Hema. How are you today?
I'm good, Juliet. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today. So yes, you know, we do have a bit of a bad romance, right? And I think that's why Greenpeace Malaysia has come up with this Breaking Up with Plastic guide. And we're going to find out more about that a bit later on in the show. But of course, plastic is a problem, right? All around the world, here in Malaysia too. You know, maybe you can remind us, you know, about our struggle to sort of contain, you know, this plastic pollution crisis and you know, all this plastic pollution waste that was even here before the pandemic.
Yeah, so Malaysia has, you know, the unfortunate reputation of being one of the world's biggest polluters. And this is from before the pandemic. So for a relatively small country, we generate a lot of trash. And we are on a global trend in two aspects. One is the overall generation of plastic waste in itself. Mm-hmm. And the second is, you know, the consumption of single-use plastics, which has been on an overall upward trajectory since the 1970s. In a study by University of Nottingham actually mentioned this. In 2007, plastic waste constituted 19% of the total waste generated in Malaysia. And of this 19%, the majority of it consisted of single-use plastic films. And overall in Asia, especially just to make a comparison, the percentage of plastic in solid waste generated in Malaysia is second only to Philippines. Mm. And significantly by 2018, Malaysia produced more than 0.94 million tons of mismanaged plastic waste per year.
Gosh.
And, you know, and we are considered one of the four mega diversity countries within the tropical ASEAN region. And we produce about 0.5 to 1.9 kg per capita per day of municipal solid waste, with plastic waste being the highest of the overall composition at an estimated 25%. So, technically, Malaysians on average produce about an estimated 19,000 tons of solid waste annually, and plastic waste represents 24% of that total solid waste. And so that is pretty, I know the numbers are like, they sound like, you know, complicated, but you know, that unfortunately is the reality of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's staggering. Gosh, it's really, really, yeah, it's terrible, you know, when you hear about it. And these are pre-pandemic stats that you're giving me, right? And now, of course, you know, there's the, I suppose it was the unanticipated impact of COVID-19, right? The volumes of protective equipment, you know, all that made the situation worse. Maybe you can help explain how single-use plastic has increased during this pandemic as well.
Yes, so the guide breaks it down to four categories, including face masks, food delivery, takeaways, medical waste, and online shopping. In terms of face masks, okay, so mask wearing was never part of our culture until the pandemic hit. You know, prior to the pandemic, we only purchased masks during hay season, and that too, not at this rate. Yeah. And of course, you know, I'm only talking about lay people who aren't part of the medical field and other industries. But when the pandemic hit, you know, the everyday Malaysian had to use a mask, and the Malaysian government provided each household four face masks to those who displayed symptoms of COVID-19, but made it mandatory for all individuals in August the same year. So by September 2020, it was estimated that up to 7.04 million face masks were discarded every day in Malaysia. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this was before government also encouraged double masking this year. when the situation in Malaysia worsened with our skyrocketing daily numbers of COVID cases. So as of, you know, August 11th, 2021, 89% of Malaysian respondents stated that, you know, they were wearing face masks in public places during the outbreak, up from 55% on February 24th, 2020. So you can see that sort of increase in numbers in terms of face masks. And the thing is, you can't really avoid it, right? Because it is for your health. So I guess these are single-use plastics that are sort of important on a daily basis because, you know, there's a pandemic going on. Yeah. But on the other end, you have food deliveries and takeaways. As tightened lockdown measures restricted people from dining out and are working from offices, there was an increase in plastic packaging when the pandemic emerged. Mm-hmm. And we were living a new normal, working from home while juggling household responsibilities, children, homeschooling, and the fact that people were panic buying and it was so difficult to even get bread, for instance, you know.
Yeah.
All these factors led to Malaysians using online delivery services and platforms. I think in the guide we mentioned that Rakuten Insight actually reported that 54% of Malaysians admitted to utilizing food delivery services. And in September 2020 of last year, ReefCheck Malaysia reported that takeaway containers, food wrappers, straws, and plastic bottles comprised of 47.4% of the 11 tons of trash found during their beach cleanup.
Gosh.
And that's a lot. Yeah. That's almost 50% already of 11 tons. And then you have the issue of medical waste, you know, with healthcare workers working overtime, having required to wear PPEs, disposable gloves, face masks, while engaging with the public at work. In Seberang Jaya Hospital, there was, I think, up to 1,000 kgs of medical waste generated in March 2020. And that was when our daily cases were actually quite low as compared to what we are having now. And in June 2021, the government news outlet Bernama reported that the volume of clinical waste generated nationally was up to almost 112% compared to 2019. And lastly, you know, with online shopping, with Malaysians having to resort to shopping online, especially last year in March, right, because everything was shut down. If it wasn't essential, everything was shut down. There was this driving significant growth in online retail. So Shopee, for example, ended 2020 with 7.41 billion in revenue, up from, you know, 116% from the previous years. So that is sufficient to show us how much we depended on these platforms to purchase items and indirectly contributed to the increase in plastic waste as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, every single one of us can just look at ourselves and, you know, if we do a little check, you know, we will see how much more plastic we've used in the last 2 years. Gosh, I mean, there have been times where I've used, you know, disposable masks and the mask itself is, you know, of plastic, and then it's inside a plastic cover, and, you know, it comes in a packet, which is also another bag of plastic there. It's just terrible. It's terrible. I don't know what to say also.
And it was weird because, like, you know, we were looking at, you know, there were no cars on the road, so we had clearer air, cleaner water. But at the same time, there's a separate sort of issue dealing with plastic pollution, you know, so it wasn't all that ideal, I guess.
It's really quite staggering. And and then there's medical waste, of course, as you spoke about, right? So I mean, all these different things has really increased something that was already a crisis, right? So now it's just like a double crisis. Do you have any sort of an idea perhaps of how Malaysia is managing all this waste? You know, do we know much about Malaysia's plastic waste management systems that are in place already?
So as for medical waste, there are several, you know, licensed companies in Malaysia which are responsible to collect, transport, treat and dispose of waste.
Mm-hmm.
All these are actually private companies, some of which have been appointed by the Ministry of Health itself. And these companies were originally managing clinical waste, but they have now included COVID-19 waste too. So there is something happening there in terms of medical waste. The Ministry of Health has also published national guidelines for management of clinical and related waste, and similar biomedical management guidelines have also been produced at state levels. So in terms of medical waste, I think we're doing pretty well. But besides that, you know, Malaysia does have waste management systems for the other stuff that we throw out, right? Mm-hmm. The main way of dealing with plastic waste in the country is disposal in landfills. And the government is taking some actions to do more and to increase recycling rate, but contaminated plastic still ends up in landfills. However, the system that we have is still inadequate to deal with the huge amount of plastic waste produced. I mean, I mentioned just now, we were producing 19,000 tons of, you know, solid waste annually. So these are like some of the issues that we feel like is not sufficient with the problem, you know. And then you come into this problem where we have not enough landfills, for example. And unfortunately, you know, Malaysia has been ranked 8th in 2015 among the top 10 countries with mismanaged plastic waste around the world. So it is quite worrying, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, a lot of people think that recycling is the way to sort of, you know, tackle this problem, right? But we both know that that's not it. And we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk about, you know, the recycling myth. I'm speaking today to Hema Mahadevan. She is with Greenpeace Malaysia. She is the public engagement campaigner with Greenpeace Malaysia. And we're talking about the plastic pollution crisis, and I know how that has been exacerbated by the pandemic. And, you know, we're also going to find out more about the guide that Greenpeace Malaysia has come up with, which is called Breaking Up with Plastic. All of that is coming up after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today is Hema Mahadevan. She's a public engagement campaigner with Greenpeace Malaysia. We're talking all about plastic and how we can break up with it. This is a guide, actually, that Greenpeace Malaysia has come up with, which is called, of course, Breaking Up with Plastic, you know, because the plastic pollution crisis is terrible. It's been exacerbated by the pandemic. You know, before the break, Hema broke down, you know, the sort of staggering statistics about our plastic waste and our plastic use. Unfortunately, you know, as you spoke about before the break, Hema, you know, we've just been using so much plastic, right, since the pandemic hit as well, with our plastic takeaway for food packaging, you know, with all the online shopping we've been doing. And of course, you know, face masks and protective equipment, which of course was necessary and is mandated, right? We have to use it, you know, but I guess the thing is people think that it can be recycled, isn't it? And that's the solution, you know, so it's all right to keep using plastic. But I know that Greenpeace has released two reports previously, which are called The Recycling Myth and The Recycling Myth 2.0, to elaborate on why recycling is not the solution. Maybe you can give us a quick overview on the issues that are related to plastic recycling.
Sure. In 2016, so, you know, at the end, you've got to look at the root problem. So in 2016, Malaysia's Urban Wellbeing, Housing and Local Government Ministry began enforcing Act 672 of the Solid Waste and Public Cleansing Management, which required residents to separate their waste. But the issue is now that the law was only ratified in selected states, for example, Putrajaya and KL and Negeri Sembilan and Pahang, mm-hmm. and a few others. So when waste is not segregated properly at the local level, large amounts of recyclable plastic end up in landfills, burned or enter our waterways, basically. And this sort of a study also found that 81% of plastic manufacturing companies will opt for cheaper and higher quality virgin resin rather than recycled plastic pellets. And this is because recyclers in Malaysia have pointed out that mixed multi-layered and soiled plastic, basically contaminated plastics, like limit recycling, as well as the cost and time and energy consuming nature of the processes. And the other issue is that not all plastics can be recycled. Out of the 7 types of plastics, only 3 can be recycled. And out of the 3 types, not all of those plastics are being recycled because the local recycling industry is focused on easily retrievable, high-value plastics such as PET mineral water bottles, for example. So in 2020, you know, Malaysia recorded a recycling rate of 30.9%. Which is still quite low, to be honest. And hopefully this will increase in the coming years. But even on a global level, only 9% of plastic ever made has been recycled.
Oh, wow.
That's very, very small. Yeah, it's a very, very small amount. So that is why we have these issues with recycling. Everybody thinks that everything can be recycled. As long as it's plastic, everything can be recycled. But they don't understand, like, when one type of plastic is being recycled, it gets degraded to a flimsier type of plastic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And at the end, you know, the flimsiest plastic cannot be recycled anymore. And it's just there. Mm-hmm. It's left there to rot.
Okay. All right. The problem is, recycling, the problem of recycling aside, right, we also hear ideas or plans to switch to plastic alternatives, right, to making plastic from different sort of, you know, not using fossil fuels and things like that. What are your thoughts on that, you know, sort of alternative material for plastic?
Yeah, I mean, it's really nice, right, when you can kind of like see these videos on like Facebook and Instagram and like how they're making avocado skin to turn into like something else, or banana skin, or, you know, potatoes or whatever it is. But, you know, plastic alternatives are like a fine example of the false solution. False solution, for those who, you know, don't really know, is a concept that replaces one kind of unsustainable throwaway packaging with another kind of unsustainable throwaway packaging. So you're just replacing that material only. And any material can be problematic and unsustainable if it's only used once before being discarded. So if we were to replace plastic with plant-based or biodegradable plastics, we are simply creating a different kind of environmental issue. So bioplastics that are derived from agricultural crops can lead to competition with food crops, threaten food security and drive land use change and agricultural emissions. It's just going to cause other problems if we depend on solutions like bioplastics. And then the other issue is, what happens when they're thrown out? When we hear biodegradable and compostable plastics, we think, oh, it just disintegrates into the land and, you know, just becomes, I don't know, like some organic stuff, but it doesn't. Biodegradable compostable plastics degrade only under very high temperatures and humidity conditions that are rarely met in the natural environment. So it doesn't just disintegrate into the soil if we throw it out, you know. And a lot of people are under the impression that that actually happens even if you use like biodegradable plastic bags from a grocery store.
Mm.
You're already doing your part for the environment. And I was naive as well at the beginning, you know. And then I realized, oh my God, it doesn't work that way. You know, these are like instances that lead to what we call greenwashing. You know, greenwashing is when brands or companies convey a false impression or provide misleading information about how a company's products are environmentally sound. You know, it's to deceive the consumer into believing that a company's products are environment friendly. You know, they use these words like eco, green, natural, bio, and those are like common phrases of greenwashing.
Oh, yes.
And they are used broadly, and there's no scientific standard there to meet, actually, because you don't know what's happening, you don't know where it's going to end up and how it's going to be treated after.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing, you know, especially now, you know, with the push for sustainability, you know, COP26 happening, everyone is jumping on that bandwagon, and there is just blatant greenwashing going on. Everybody is jumping on it. It's quite horrifying, actually.
It's a good business marketing tactic, I guess, for businesses.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, are we equipped enough to actually go through it and to see whether they are greenwashing? You know, are consumers wise enough, I suppose, or educated enough to know how to, you know, tell it apart from actual, you know, proper sustainable measures between and, you know, versus greenwashing? That those are the things that we really need to educate ourselves on, isn't it? And I think that's where the, you know, the guide comes in, isn't it? I mean, plastic is so ubiquitous. It's everywhere. But, you know, we really need to educate ourselves about it and kind of break free from it, right? And you guys, of course, have released this guide to help us. Tell me about it, you know, and what it hopes to achieve.
The idea behind the guide was actually to raise awareness. We wanted to bring together relevant and verified data on Malaysia's current consumption of single-use plastic resulting from the pandemic and subsequent lockdowns, and also present solutions. It's more of a lifestyle report, to be honest. It's something, it's very different from what we had earlier, which was the recycling myth and the recycling myth 2.0. So with this one, we wanted to inform people that you have options. You know, we can provide you with actual solutions for changes in lifestyle and practices on an individual level to a commercial level. You know, for example, we talk about bulk stores and zero waste stores that consumers can visit when they want to do their shopping, for example. So we provide those solutions that can be practiced at home, and it gives readers the opportunity to explore a change of day-to-day habits whilst also, I guess, learning about, you know, some of the current issues that we are going through as a nation in terms of plastic waste.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the guide also provides suggestions and ideas, right? Just to empower all of us to take action against plastic pollution. I think if I remember correctly, it's, you know, on different levels. So individual, collective, or as an organization, right? Walk me through some of the suggestions that you guys have put forth in the guide.
So I think what we wanted to make it clear is that, you know, Malaysia's problem has been made worse by the pandemic, yes, but it's not so much of a dead end. So what we do is we break it down to like three different aspects. Like, for example, what can you do at home, for example? So in the kitchen, beginner level, you can plant what you have, you know, instead of buying produce, you can grow your own produce. Or in terms of your bathroom, you can, instead of picking up, you know, your normal shampoos that come in bottles or your soaps that come like those refill soaps, all you can do is, you know, pick up a bar of soap instead, mm-hmm. instead of using those liquid soaps. So these are things that you can be done on an individual level. For example, like I mentioned just now, even going shopping at bulk stores, or even, you know, like if you go to Klang and you see those Indian stores that sell like all your spices in those big sacks, you know, you can even shop from there instead of getting your spices that have already come like pre-packed in plastics, yeah. You know, for example. And as a collective, you know, you could, for instance, you could do that at work. You know, CEOs and directors, for example, can make recycling or like refill systems part of your workspace or your work culture. You know, provide bins for trash, for example, for trash separation, and try to compost like any organic waste, for example, your food waste. Mm. And so those are things that you can, that can be done as a collective. And then you have like for business owners, what we do is we try to emphasize business owners to sort of look at things from a different perspective. So what you can do is redesign your packaging, you know, just pack it better, maybe start off with incentives for online sellers, you know, use returnable packaging. So these are some of the solutions that we give out to people, whether individuals, collective, or organizations or companies, to sort of, you know, start practicing basically, mm-hmm. instead of just, you know, thinking of it as there's no other way of doing this, I'm just going to continue with what I'm doing at the moment because it works, because there are other solutions that out there that work as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, just what you were talking about, the shopping, how we used to shop, right? I mean, that is how we used to do it. We used to go to a shop, we would bring our own containers and take like the spices or the curry powder or whatever it is, right? I mean, I have very vivid memories of following my mother to the market and doing it that way before, you know, the rise of all these supermarkets and everything, right? Everything, you know, packaged so nicely and neatly in plastic. That's how we used to do it. And maybe that's what we need to do, isn't it? Just go back to how things were. Because, it's just kind of out of control at the moment, right? but I guess, you know, individual action aside, right? I mean, that's great. And that, of course, is a very, very valid point. But, you know, I think particularly for plastic pollution, you know, a large part of the responsibility is obscured. And that is the focus of the plastic problem, as we've come to see, it's at the waste stage, right? Not so much the production stage. How can we change the conversation to also tackle producer responsibility?
As the e-commerce industry grows at an exponential rate, you know, so do like the logistical demands of each vendor and platform as they sort of ensure the quality and safety of the products as they arrive on, you know, doorsteps of consumers, for example. But, you know, what happens after the consumer opens the package, right? You know, there's only so much consumers can do. And companies should really, really start looking at changing their policies. You know, the first thing they can do is like reduce the current numbers of packaging waste by introducing, for example, reduction targets. They can reduce current numbers by rationalizing packaging systems, amending or changing rules that match packaging requirements with orders, for example. They can also redesign the current systems on packaging, you know, by exploring and investing in more sustainable systems. So what they can do is they can start using that concept of reusable and returnable packaging. So whatever that I use as just say a merchant, I can give it back to you and you can, you know, reuse that packaging for your next customer or for your next big company or whichever it is, like, you know. Because, you know, the issue is right now is that we have way too much unnecessary packaging. So, like, for example, Shopee, if you go on their website, you can see, like, you know, Shopee's got a 4-rule step to ensure buyers receive goods in good condition. So one of it is wrapping the item in 2-3 rounds of bubble wrap, pack any accessory separately, choose a box or a pouch that is larger, and then, you know, you put fill in more extras, fill in like fillers into that extra space, and then, you know, tape the openings and seams of the box of the pouch. It's all very, very unnecessary packaging. So what we can do is, I guess, you know, we can try to redesign packaging, reduce the amount of plastic that that is involved in terms of delivery. And that is, I think, one of the steps that, you know, we could look at from the beginning. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I guess, you know, what you're trying to say is that there are solutions, right?
Yeah,
because when we, I don't know, every time I take a walk in the shopping center, in the grocery store, for example, and you just see, you know, plastics everywhere, isn't it? It's really quite overwhelming, but that it didn't used to be that way. And we can go back to it if only we put the pressure on the production side, isn't it? On the producers, on the big companies who are actually making it. Yeah.
Because, you know, if when I go into whichever store that I'm, you know, buying my groceries from, even like things like, you know, even vegetables are wrapped in those foam plastics. And I'm like, I don't know why. And, you know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, there's this thing with COVID now, everything is wrapped in plastic anymore because for safety or cleanliness issues. But to be honest, it doesn't matter because the virus can still stick onto that plastic longer, in fact, than the vegetable, you know. So it's sort of like, yeah, it sort of defeats the purpose, I guess. And it doesn't really solve any problems, you know, if they're going to use health reasons, for example. So, yeah, it's just really a lot of it is unnecessary packaging. And that's what companies can do, is to sort of just think about what really needs to be packed in plastic and what is not, you know.
Yeah. Definitely. And I mean, these are sort of the things that, as we mentioned, you know, you're tackling in the guide, Greenpeace Breaking Up with the Plastic Guide. And I really love it. It's a very simple guide, you know, very straightforward, easy things that, you know, we can adopt even today if we wanted to. How can people access and use it?
Yeah, I think like I like what you mentioned, because I think that that's the reason why we designed it that way, is because so it's easily accessible, easily understandable. And what people can do is, you know, just head on to Greenpeace Malaysia's website, www.greenpeace.org/Malaysia, or you can go onto our Instagram, which is Greenpeace Malaysia, and click on the link in bio. The guide is actually called Breaking Up with Plastics, and it is free. It is available for everyone to read. So you just need to download it, save it in your phone or your laptop and give it a read, you know, before you go to sleep. If you're scrolling through your phone, this is something that you would like to read before going to bed, at least.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, there's diagrams, you know, there's places where you can go shop, there's suggestions, there's, you know, different resources that you can tap on, you know, aside from Greenpeace as well. So it's really, really very informative and, you know, really tiny. It's just a small guide, but so much packed in it. Really, I highly recommend it. So yes, just head to the Greenpeace website or your Instagram page, to access that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And, you know, before I let you go, you know, any last message you'd like to leave us with, you know, maybe with regard to how we as individuals can sort of get rid of this throwaway mindset and culture that we all seem to be collectively subscribed to at the moment?
So I think, like, you know, the throwaway culture thing is such a Malaysian thing. You know, buy things, we throw away, we don't think of it, we don't think too much of it. And one of the things that I hate seeing is, you know, I come from Seremban, and when I'm near the market, I see the river filled with plastic bags. It really annoys me. So what I think we can do is by first avoid purchasing single-use items, for example. So, you know, try to avoid your water bottles, your single-use plastic bags, your grocery items with excessive packaging, and for example, and other plastic products that will not get plenty of use. You know, it's one of those products where you're going to use it once or twice and then throw out. And before throwing an item away and purchasing something, you find out if what you have already can be fixed or repurposed. The thing is, we want to try to reuse as much as we can. So that is why we encourage people to use your reusable bags. Instead of buying water bottles, plastic water bottles, you know, get tumblers or flasks instead. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that can be used long term and you don't need to throw out after just using once or twice. You know, and a lot of people also think that living an eco-friendly life means having to buy a new bunch of fancy eco-friendly products and throw out what you already have at home. You don't need to do that. You know, like, you don't need to spend 100 old ringgit on like a fancy eco-friendly product. No. Even if you have plastics at home, for example, for just say you've been ordering food online, they come in plastic containers, you can actually reuse those containers instead of throwing it out. You know, keep your spices in it. I've got, like 4 years ago, I kept all my curry powders and everything in this plastic containers that I still have in my fridge. And they still work perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And I only throw them out in the recycling bin if they've completely broken and, you know, spices are coming out of everywhere and I can't use it. That's when I throw it out into the recycling bin. So, you know, try to reduce by reusing, refilling, repair, and just repeat those steps. Starting out with small steps, such as using a reusable water bottle or bringing your reusable bags or reusing what you already have at home, will already make you sort of like start that transition to a sustainable lifestyle seem easier. And ultimately, being mindful of what you're consuming and why you are consuming will also sort of change that throwaway culture. Before you buy something, just say, do I really need to? You know, that's like, do I really need it? How long am I going to use it for? You know, is this something that I'm buying just because I feel like shopping today? You know, these are some of the questions that you can, I guess, ask yourself. And as for recycling, I know I mentioned earlier that, you know, recycling is not really the best solution and it should be the last option because, like I said, not everything that can be recycled is actually recycled. But, you know, if, for example, like sometimes I do have, I do separate my trash, for example. So I have a bin that is just separate for recycling and I live in an apartment and, you know, the kakas in the apartment help me bring it down because they're actually recycling companies that come and pick these things up. So, you know, try to separate your trash and before you look at recycling, try to look at your other options, you know, your reduce, reuse, refill, repair. And if everything fails, that's when you can start recycling. So if you're a business owner, you deal with single-use plastics on a day-to-day basis, you know, what you can do is you can sort of rethink your packaging, like I mentioned earlier, sort of see whether you need that much of plastic when you're looking at ways to, you know, send your items out, for example. So, you know, give your customers the opportunity to be more eco-friendly as well. You know, sort of redesign your packaging or how you deliver your goods with a focus on refill and reuse to reduce plastic.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I've been speaking to Hema Mahadevan. She's a public engagement campaigner with Greenpeace Malaysia. We're talking about a really bad relationship with plastic and how we need to break up with them. We break up with plastic, and Greenpeace Malaysia has just released a Breaking Up with Plastic guide. Again, you can just head to the Greenpeace Malaysia website to find it or search for it on their social media pages. Just have a look, download that that guide and really get started. You know, the small things that everyone can do, and you know, small things really can make an impact. So start today. And if you missed any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can always search for the podcast at bfm.my/earth, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.